Senators are proposing legislation to give federal chief information officers more control over information technology investments. A draft bill would let CIOs have budget authority and approval over all of the IT contracts. Senators Tom Carper and Tom Coburn will offer up this version of the Federal IT Acquisition Reform Act today at a meeting of the Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Committee. Federal News Radio's executive editor Jason Miller joins us with a copy of the draft bill in his hands. Jason, good morning.
My hands are very sweaty because I've been holding that bill all night.
I was clutching it
like I'm a little baby.
If it's that hot, you might have blisters or something by now.
It's a hot bill, I'll tell you, for 7 a.m. talking federal IT. Nothing's better.
In the middle of the summer on a Wednesday, hump day. All right, let's get on with it then. So tell us what this bill does with respect to the federal CIOs.
Right. Well, let's be clear on the start off. This is a draft version, so the markup that comes later this morning, things could change. It could be amendments. But what we do know is this. Under this FITARA bill, this is the Senate version, and they're going to do what they call an amendment in the nature of a substitute. So they're going to take the House version of the bill that got passed through the Defense Authorization Bill, and they're going to bring in a new bill on top of it. And what that's going to do is direct OMB to require all annual IT capital planning guidance that the CIO of the agency number one approve the agency's IT budget request. Now, this is not a partial request. This is not some of it. It's approve the IT budget request. The second thing we'll do, we'll tell the OMB to make sure our CIOs certify that all IT investments are implemented using what they call incremental or agile development. Now, this is the approach OMB defined back in 2012 through a memo, and this is an approach that will continue to live on and change in terms of not necessarily the full-on meaning, but it will evolve over time. And then the third thing we'll do is require the CIOs to work with agency chief human capital officers to review all IT positions requested in the budget to ensure the agency's needs are being met. So that's on the budget side. On the contracting side, this is also very interesting because it's going to give CIOs the power to review and approve all IT contracts and what they call other agreements for technology projects and services. And additionally, and I think this is the other key point, it's going to give the CIOs the power, again, to review and approve all requests for reprogramming of funds for IT. So it's not just you can approve the initial contract, but if you want to change somehow or spend money over here instead of over there, again, the CIO has that power that now to say yes or no. Those are two things that many CIOs, you talk to someone like Roger Baker, the former Veterans Affairs CIO, will tell you that is the key piece that's been missing all these years.
So, Jason, I just have, going back to that hard copy of the bill, how big is it?
It's not that big. It's about 35 pages, and, you know, the first, 15 are all definitions and gobbledygook of legal people. But you know, a lot of it is focused on those three areas. I think CIOs, investment strategies, and then there's a very interesting kind of there's not a ton on acquisition. That's called the Federal IT Acquisition Reform Act, but there's not a lot on acquisition itself.
So is the theory that if you get numbers one and two, then three will follow?
Well, it seems that way. It'll be interesting to see what happens at the markup today to see whether the lawmakers of the Senate Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Committee start offering amendments to add that acquisition piece. Because if you think about why FITARA really came up, I mean, there's several reasons, but the healthcare.gov debacle really showed there's major problems in federal acquisition of technology. Yet this bill is addressing other areas kind of, I wouldn't say on the peripheral, but not directly related to acquisition. It's really more about management of acquisition and management of money.
Now, you said this bill is going to be flopped down on top of the House bill that's already passed. How do the two differ?
Well, they differ a lot. I mean, the biggest difference is the House bill really does call for specific acquisition changes. The Senate bill really touches acquisition in only two places. Number one, data center consolidation, which isn't really acquisition. I mean, that's a similarity between the House and the Senate. And it does call for better use, more use, more study around strategic sourcing, which obviously has been having its share of problems. We could do a whole segment on that, Tom and Emily. So we won't necessarily go down those paths. But that's really it. I mean, otherwise, for instance, the House bill says there should only be one person with the title CIO in the entire agency. The Senate bill doesn't go that far. They say the things I mentioned about CIOs, budget authority, contracting approval authority. But the other thing it says is the CIO should have the authority to approve anyone else who comes under them with the title of CIO, but it doesn't explicitly say only one person should have title of CIO. And that's something both, you know, Congressman Darrell Issa and Congressman Jerry Connolly, who are the major authors of the House version of FITAR, have really been pushing, that there's too many people with the same title. So that really, you know, dilutes what that title means.
We're speaking with Federal News Radio's executive editor, Jason Miller. And Jason, just a bit about sort of the political maneuvering here. Now, the House has its legislation as an amendment to the Defense Authorization Bill. So how would, if they were to pass this, how would this take place?
So first of all, if it gets through committee, then Senator Carper and Coburn, I think, have a decision to make. Do they try to push this through as a standalone, or do they attach it to the Senate version of the Defense Authorization Bill? I think that's really the most likely way this bill is going to get through. And then when they go to conference committee for the NDAA, everything gets worked out there. If you think back over the last 20 or 30 years over the major IT, major acquisition reform legislation, whether it's the EGOV Act of 2002, Clinger-Cohen, or even, you know, FASA and FARA, all of those were attached, maybe not all of them, but many of them were attached to the Defense Authorization Bill, because it's the one bill that the people know on Capitol Hill that usually makes it through to the, you know, to law.
And it's fair to say this is innocuous enough that those that would, the greater bodies here, the whole House and whole Senate that would pass that bill, are okay with this in one form or another?
I think so. I mean, obviously, the House and the Senate bill differ quite a bit, so there would be some negotiation happening. And as we've heard from federal CIO Stephen Van Roeckel, the White House is less than excited about legislation around federal IT. So we'll have to kind of see how those pieces all come together. It seems to be, you know, if the Senate, again, if the committee passes it today and it can get attached to a bill like the NDAA and get through, I think the White House probably would be okay with the Senate's version. As we know, the White House and the Senate work very closely together on almost every piece of legislation.
And speaking of the White House, you've been reporting all along here about Van Roeckel, and one of the things you've reported is that he would like to bring in this cadre of short-term federal employees, be there for a while, that would oversee some of the big acquisitions, almost like that center of excellence idea he's been talking about for a couple of years. So that seems a little bit in conflict with this bill.
Not necessarily in conflict. I mean, what Steve Van Roeckel and the White House have asked for is a fund to say, could we set up kind of a digital services organization, an innovation group, you know, similar to what GSA is doing with 18F, but really complementary to them to add to that capability. This bill is not saying you can't do it, and this bill is not saying that we have all the pieces in place. What this bill, I think, on the Senate side at least, is really trying to focus on the specific areas that Congress can really make a difference, which is giving CIOs more authority, a bigger seat at the table, and addressing some of the contracting issues, so there is that kind of belly button to push in the end to say who's really in charge of this contract, versus what I think happened with so many things is well, the CIO points in one direction, the program people point in the other direction, and the acquisition people are kind of caught in the middle.
And federal tech contractors must be watching today's meeting eagerly. How do they feel about what the Senate is proposing?
So I think there's a lot of optimism about this. You know, I caught up with a few different people, and the changes, you know, the kind of reaction I've heard is, you know, I wouldn't say interesting, but they said something we have to follow, because yes, this would mean major changes in many respects to the process by which contracts get let out the door. Now, in the end, it's still going to go through the acquisition, you know, the FAR and things of that nature. But what I'm going to really look forward to today is finding out after this markup is done what their reaction is. And in fact, Emily, you put this on a platter for me. That's going to be my story for tomorrow, reaction analysis of the FITAR markup among some of the other bills that are out there now.
Well, it's important, that idea that this doesn't actually touch acquisition itself, because that would require a rewrite of the FAR, which usually takes a couple of years in its own right, whereas the provisions of these bills, whichever one gets passed, could take place right away.
I think that's part of maybe their thinking behind the Senate's version, is to say, if a lot of people are saying the FAR is good enough, if there's provisions in the FAR that let agencies be agile, you know, be incremental, be innovative, but they just have to use it in a different way, or they have to have that, feel like that there's that cover. So if the CIO is signing off on it, maybe they feel like that will open the door a little bit to deal with some of these longstanding issues versus this hampering. I mean, let me just give you one example of this in the There's a cybersecurity bill that's also going to be looked at today, FISMA updates.
Yes, you got your hands on that one, too.
I did, yes. Well, it's been a good week so far, I'll tell you. But what they're doing with the FISMA rewrite bill is not necessarily saying you got to do continuous monitoring, you got to change, you got to change, you got to change. They're actually saying Circular A130, and this gets into the weeds a little bit, which really governs how agencies look at IT systems and secures IT systems. That's the real problem here. We're not necessarily going to need to make wholesale changes to FISMA itself, but what we need to do is tell OMB and IGs and GAO to change A130, and then that will kind of set in motion these other things that are already happening, have them go quicker. I think with the IT reform bill, they're looking at certain areas to say we can set things in motion to happen more quickly, but the FAR itself, the provisions in the FAR itself work.
All right, so things to look forward to. Jason Miller is Federal News Radio's executive editor. As always, thanks so much for joining us.
My pleasure.